You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Name any hot button issue and chances are your local restaurant owner is in the middle of it. Immigration, inflation, public health, tariffs, and taxes may lead the headlines, but they impact the day-to-day business for restaurant owners. And in some cases, they could mean the difference between success and failure. I'm Rob Hart, and we talk about the challenges facing the restaurant industry with Illinois Restaurant Association President and CEO Sam Toya and Bartoli's Pizza owner Brian Tondrick on this week's edition of At Issue.
Sam Toya, President and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, and Brian Tondrick, owner of Bartoli's Pizza, two locations in Chicago, Roscoe Village and Westtown. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here.
And Sam, let's start with you. 5 years ago, it seems like only yesterday, we were all gathered together at the news conference room at City Hall with then-Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And in retrospect, it's kind of crazy that we're all smooshed together in that very tiny room at a time when a respiratory disease was really shutting down businesses across not only the Chicago area, the state, the country, and the world, but we were talking about ending indoor dining. And you were there with representatives of the restaurant industry and of third-party delivery companies talking about how every restaurant now had to pivot to being a takeout or delivery operation. What was going through your mind when you were at the podium that day in March of 2020 about just what the future held for the restaurant business? What did you know then?
You know, we didn't know what was coming. We just knew it was really going to be bad. We knew that, you know, we were losing customers. People weren't coming into the restaurants. A lot of restaurants back then didn't even have pickup service or delivery service. So a lot of restaurants had to pivot to do, you know, curbside pickup or delivery. And then they had to work with the third party delivery services because a lot of them didn't have drivers. They didn't even know how to do, you know, packaging to deliver food. Now, most restaurants throughout the city of Chicago and our 77 communities, up to 20% of their business is takeout or delivery. So that's what we did learn from the pandemic. But we had to pivot real quick to figure out how our independent restaurants could do curbside pickup and or delivery.
I mean, there was just so much disruption in the space because you had maybe a lot of longtime restaurant owners who had been thinking about retiring use that as the opportunity to retire and close and move on. And then you had a number of other restaurant owners who their dream business, maybe a family business that had been in business for a very long time, they were forced to close just because the stay-at-home orders had gone on for months, or they couldn't make it work with outdoor dining, or they couldn't make it work with delivery. There was just so much disruption, so much turnover during that time. We're now 5 years removed from it, Sam, and what would you say is the state of the restaurant industry? Has it 100% recovered from then, or has it surpassed where we were in March of 2020, or is there still some distance to run?
Oh, there's still some distance to run. Since 2020, product cost has gone up 35%. Labor cost has gone up 35%, and fixed cost has gone up 18%. I used to say before the pandemic, the restaurant industry was an industry of nickels and dimes. Now it's an industry of pennies and nickels. And these mandates we're getting out of City Hall are just going to kill more of our independent restaurants. Chicago is a very independent restaurant town. It is not a chain restaurant town like Tampa or Houston. And, you know, restaurants are the soul of all our 77 communities here in the city of Chicago. And we're still recovering from the pandemic, because you can only pass your price increases on so much. And you, every time you raise your prices, you lose some customers. So we do not have as many guests in seats as we used to in 2019. So no, we are not back to 2019 headcounts.
I do want to talk to you, and we'll cover this in just a few minutes, just the regulatory environment, the economic environment, dealing with higher costs. But Brian, you opened the business in 2020. So there are a lot of people that talk about how they weathered the difficult thing and managed to pivot and evolve, and it's smooth sailing today. You basically got the hard part out of the way first. So talk about opening the business in 2020 and how things have evolved for you since then.
Sure. Yeah, we opened up 2 weeks before the pandemic shut down the city. My first location, thank goodness, we've been in business for a number of years, and that one actually supported the new restaurant for about 2 years to keep it going. Because when we opened up, nobody knew we were there, and everybody was locked in their homes, and it was a struggle for about 2 years.
Now, at the very least, though, you did sell pizza, which is a food that transports well and also lends itself to carry out and delivery. A lot of other places really had to just retool their entire business for that capability. So do you think pizza was, in addition to just being a Chicago staple, really was a lifeline for you at that time?
Yeah, we were fortunate enough that we already were set up for takeout and delivery. That's what we do. So we didn't have to transition like a lot of the other restaurants had to. So we were in a good position right off the back, at least at my original location on Addison. The new location, though, like I said, nobody knew we were there, and there was just no business coming in. We were in a good spot, though, with the other location. I'm sorry. Yeah.
now, Sam, the two real trends that took off from 2020 are outdoor dining and third-party delivery apps that really helped restaurants that didn't have that takeout or delivery capability, really helped them scale up very quickly. When it comes to outdoor dining, whether it's in Chicago or elsewhere, that does require a sign-off and a buy-in from local government. Where do you see outdoor dining going as COVID-19 and all the disruptions, you know, gets further in the rearview mirror?
You know, I think since the pandemic, as you mentioned, more and more people like to dine outside. And definitely you see this not just in Chicago with sidewalk cafes or rooftops, but even like in Arlington Heights. They closed the whole downtown area of Arlington Heights, and you have outdoor eating. So it's become a very staple in the restaurant industry. We're seeing more and more outdoor dining, like I said, rooftops and sidewalk cafes. And I think it's here to stay, very European style. And we picked up on it because of the pandemic. So that's the one maybe good thing that came out of the pandemic, because, you know, you have more people that eat out in the summertime, and you have more seats now. If you have an outdoor, you know, cafe and you have 100 seats inside, maybe you have 50 seat outside. So you can seat more people and take in more income.
I was going to say, as someone who lives in Park Ridge, they have closed off portions of Main Street by the train station that's been devoted to outdoor dining, and a couple of parking spaces on Prospect in Uptown Park Ridge have also been devoted to outdoor dining. And it really is popular, but every time it seems like the the outdoor dining permits are up for renewal. There are some more voices wondering why we're still doing this, but it seems like outdoor dining in a lot of places is here to stay. The other thing that really jumped out and took root is the third-party delivery apps. And there are some restaurants that are starting to push back on that because for some, the way the place is laid out, if you go into a certain establishment, you're fighting through as a customer. It's just shoulder to shoulder with just dozens of third-party delivery app drivers. And how do you, as the head of the interest group for Illinois restaurants, you know, make sure all parties live in harmony?
You know, so obviously it's part of the business now. As I mentioned a little earlier, 20% of most independent restaurants now are doing pickup and or delivery. So you got to figure out, you know, how do you work this into the equation? Because when you use these third-party delivery apps, you got to pay them to do it, right? And the more restaurants you have, the better deal you get. So if you're a single operator, it does cost you a little bit of money, but you got to compete. And now we know 37% of adults have delivery at least once a week. That's from the National Restaurant Association. And think about that, 37% of people out there at least get delivery once a week. So if you want to stay competitive in this business, you got to figure it out and work with the third-party apps and get the best deal you can.
Now, Brian, Sam kind of laid out the macro environment for restaurant owners, not only in Chicago and Illinois, a lot of the economic issues, a lot of the regulatory issues. I mentioned jokingly earlier that opening a restaurant during COVID, you got the hard part out of the way. But what are the biggest expenses that you see as a restaurant owner right now? And what are some of your challenges today?
I would say some of the biggest challenges we have is staffing. Staffing is a problem everywhere in Chicago. There's just not enough people to work, and that's what's also caused the wages to go higher. So restaurants are really struggling with that. Food costs are definitely up. As Sam said, I think they're up 35% in 5 years. And we haven't been able to pass on all the increases to the customers. I mean, we can't sell a pizza for $50. I mean, it's just what it is. So our margins have went down. So there's, you might have been making 15% before. Now you're making 10%, you know, and that's makes it tough.
And then with that margin going down, at least on a 5 percentage point basis, for some people, would that make them believe that that jumping into the restaurant business just may not be worth it for them, or it may not be worth it for them to continue?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. It's not an easy business to get into. Everybody thinks you're going to get rich in the restaurant world, and especially pizza. You see pizzerias opening up everywhere. So it's a challenge, and they're going to face the same problems that established restaurants are, and that is staffing them and getting good help.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking about the restaurant industry across the Chicago area with Sam Toya, president and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, and Brian Tondrick, who is the owner of Bartoli's Pizza with locations in Roscoe Village and Westtown. Now, Sam, I had a conversation with a restaurant owner not too long ago, and this is during, the Great Resignation was in full swing, and all of a sudden, you know, restaurants were having a hard time finding people, and they were paying $20 an hour or $25 an hour, or even offering signing bonuses to people who were willing to get people to come in and get people to work for them, because the labor market was just that frothy coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic. And at the same time, that was when the city considered the minimum wage for the tipped minimum wage that was going to be phased out over a course of many years. And it seemed, according to this restaurant owner, that maybe it was legislation that was solving a problem that wasn't there anymore. And now we're 3 years after the fact. Is that the case?
It is the case. We were told, that eliminating the tip credit was working, and it's good. And look at Washington, D.C. You know what we've seen in Washington, D.C.? Mayor Bowser now has she's paused it, and she's reversed it. She originally said, let's eliminate the tip credit, because the California activists went to DC and said, this works. And then they came to Chicago and said, this work. It doesn't work. Every employee out there needs to make minimum wage. The average wait person makes close to $29 an hour. And if they're not making the tip wage plus, you know, plus their tips equaling the minimum wage, then the employer needs to make that up. We do not stand behind bad actors and actresses. Let's go after them if there's people making under minimum wage. But as I mentioned, the average wait person makes $29 an hour, and the wait people, waitresses, bartenders, they don't want to lose the tip credit. They come in, they want to wait tables, they want to make their money and get out. The only two things you can control in the restaurant industry is obviously your labor costs and your product cost. And if you're going to raise these wages and get rid of the tip credit, then what you're going to do, if you had five wait people working, you're going to go to four. If you had two busboys, you're going to go to one. And then you're going to cut hours too. Instead of having a four or five table section, they're going to have a six or seven table section, because all you can do is control labor. Again, the California activists came in.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Said this is working in D.C., and guess what? It is not. Mayor Bowser of D.C. has put a pause and has repealed it.
Now, let's talk about some of the other issues that are not only in front of city council as the budget process continues, but also in Springfield as they ponder new sources of revenue for public transit, not only in Chicago, but across the state. But the city's trying to close a $1 billion budget deficit, and one of the ideas under consideration is reviving the head tax. It was phased out by Mayor Emanuel 14 years ago. What was the head tax like for restaurants in the Chicago area in the good old days, and what kind of impact would it have today if it were to be revived?
It's a job killer. Let's just start right there. I want all your listeners to know it's a job killer. They're proposing $21 per team member if you have 100 or more employees and they work at least 50% of their time in the city. Think about this. If you own a restaurant, two, three restaurants, if you own two, probably got about 50, 60 employees. If you go to a third restaurant or a fourth restaurant, you're going to go over 100. And again, as we've been talking here, the restaurant industry is an industry of pennies and nickels now. And if you do increase, if you do this head tax, you're going to see our mid-sized restaurant companies going, I'm not opening another location in Chicago. Let me look at Rosemont. Let me look at Oakbrook, because it's too expensive to open a restaurant in the city. So it will be a job killer. And we will see mid-sized restaurant companies not growing here in the city of Chicago.
The veto session in Springfield, the avoiding the fiscal cliff is job number one for lawmakers who are considering new sources of revenue for public transit. One of the ideas that was under consideration last spring, before the bill failed on the 5-yard line, was a tax on third-party delivery services. Now, how much lobbying did your organization do in Springfield to make sure that it did not reach Governor Pritzker's desk? And what kind of job do you have ahead of you if it's under consideration again?
Again, we have to educate our elected officials. The restaurant industry, food industry employs over 585,000 people here in the state of Illinois. We do close to $51 billion in sales. There's over 26,000 eating and drinking establishments. We are the second largest private sector employer. So we need to obviously educate our elected officials about that. But if you put this, they were talking about $1.50 per delivery on third-party apps. That's an increase. And again, you can't keep passing these increases out. It's a tax increase. It doesn't work. It's going to hurt your independent restaurants in from neighborhoods from Rogers Park, you know, to Portage Park, to Little Village, to Pullman. And you're going to see more and more empty storefronts. You can't keep putting taxes on our independent restaurants throughout our 77 communities and throughout the state of Illinois. You'll see more restaurants going out of business in Rockford, in Springfield, in Peoria. It's just a tax increase. We also saw that, Metro and Pace, they said they found they had money. So can we believe the numbers they have? Because they supposedly found $200 million. So I'm not sure we need to do this transportation bill. I know we need to address it. And I always say I'd rather be at the table than on the menu. But maybe we should this time exclude restaurants from being part of the transportation bill.
Now, Brian, you're trying to run two restaurants in Chicago. In all of these macro factors, you're just trying to make a living inside of the economy and inside of the laws and statutes of the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And coming out of COVID, it really was kind of Katie bar the door, not only in terms of trying to find people to work at the restaurant, but also at the same time, everybody wanted to make up for lost living. We were all cooped up inside. We were stuck watching Tiger King. And so we all went out. We went to the restaurant. We just enjoyed these things that we took for granted prior to COVID-19. And the services economy was red hot for a very long time. But now price sensitivity is starting to creep in to the restaurant employee. So what are you seeing in terms of daily visits, and how are you trying to meet that price sensitive customer?
Sure. Well, let me say this. After COVID, there was a spike in business. Everybody had extra money and they wanted to get out and they wanted to enjoy things and start eating out at restaurants, and it was a good year. The last 4 years, we've slowly seen a shift in downward sales. And I think people don't have the extra few dollars. So they're going to go out and order pizza once every 2 weeks instead of once a week now, or they're not going to order as much food as because the prices went up a lot. I mean, everybody had to pass along the costs. So they just didn't have it in their budget to continue going, spending as much money as they did prior to COVID or the year after COVID.
Now, this is something I mentioned during one of our conversations on the Noon Business Hour, but your restaurant is famous, especially on social media, for these viral videos of dogs using the doggy treat window. And it's great for marketing, and it's great for pet owners, and it's great for getting your name out there. But I would also imagine in this world where you literally have to scratch and claw, no pun intended, for every customer and convince them to actually go out, that's a slight competitive advantage in the marketplace.
Yeah, we've always given treats to the dogs. We had a dog. We put a walk-up window in during COVID for people to walk up that didn't want to come into the restaurant. It turned into a dog window because my manager was feeding treats to the dogs. So all these dogs in the neighborhood started coming by, and she started posting videos on Facebook and social media, Instagram, and it went viral. I mean, we had millions and millions of hits, and we were getting calls from everywhere. I mean, all around the country, people were just, they loved the idea. It was fun.
But it seems like you need that level of creativity to not only just convince someone who wants to stay in, or maybe, that's not, I don't want to spend money on going out. You need to do that to convince people to go out to eat now. And I would imagine that level of creativity also extends to trying to stretch your budget too, in terms of coming up with different proteins, coming up with different ways to adjust the menu. So you're not you know, facing the full brunt of higher food prices.
I mean, we're doing whatever we can to get in front of new customers. I mean, we're spending more money on social media and even mailers. You know, people still want to get a mailer with a menu in the mail to have something hold in their hand. It's not easy. And people are more reliant now. Pre-COVID, third-party delivery was a big deal pre-COVID, okay? We did a lot of business with third-party delivery. It wasn't by my choice. I'd rather build my business organically, but we restaurants in Chicago depended on it. So what happened after COVID is when every restaurant in the city depended on third-party delivery, now we have a million more competitors, correct? So people have more options now for delivery than they did before. So we're seeing less volume from the third-party companies now than we did pre-COVID. It's way less. We're doing maybe 17% now, third-party. Pre-COVID, it was 27 or 8%, I think, somewhere around there. And so you're seeing it's kind of watered down now. So people have more options for food, which is a good thing, too. It just makes it harder for us to get in front of more people.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking about the local restaurant business with Sam Toya, president and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, and Brian Tondrick with Bartoli's Pizza, with two locations in Roscoe Village and in the Westtown neighborhood. Sam, the big story, obviously, in the last month has been stepped up immigration enforcement. And this is, you know, for hundreds of years in America, the restaurant industry has been the first step in an immigrant's new life in America. The restaurant business and immigration are inexorably intertwined, and immigration law has changed during that time. Degrees of enforcement have changed during that time. What guidelines does the Illinois Restaurant Association have for members who are hiring immigrants, and what advice does it have for an establishment that kind of finds itself in the crosshairs of immigration and customs enforcement action?
Great question. So, as you mentioned, immigrants have always been the backbone of the hospitality industry here in Chicago for over the last 120 years, from the Eastern Europeans to the Greeks to the Italians to the Africans to the Asians to the Latinos to the Mexicans. We know that throughout the country, 27% of restaurants are owned by immigrants. Here in the city of Chicago, it's 40%. So the hospitality industry would not exist without immigrants. City of Chicago is a city of immigrants. We really need to figure out immigration reform. But let's talk about ICE. You're putting a lot of fear out there into team members. They don't want to go to work because we're hearing that people are being stopped that are citizens. What do you do? You're supposed to do? Walk around with your passport in your back pocket? So people, there's a lot of fear out there. We saw this in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., that up to 20% of team members didn't come to work. We're starting to hear that in Chicago. And when you have this fear out there, people don't want to go out either. When you walk up and down Clark Street or Michigan Avenue and you see these ICE agents, it just puts fear in people, and that's bringing sales down, which is going to hurt the tax sales that the municipalities need to pay their bills or the state needs to pay its bills. So this is just bad. I just wish the leaders of both parties would come to the table and figure out immigration reform, because the United States is a country of immigrants.
And then there are resources on the Illinois Restaurant Association website, both for employers and employees, to make sure that their paperwork is up to date. And what do you recommend?
Yes, this is what we recommend. We recommend that all restaurants, you know, obviously mark what's private and what's public. Obviously, a kitchen is private space. If an ICE agent comes in, we educate our members to make sure they have someone at the front door, and they say to the ICE agents, do you have a warrant? 95% of the time, they do not have a judicial warrant. So they don't have a judicial warrant. They cannot go into private space. They might have administrative subpoena, and all that does is that you got 72 hours to turn your I-9s over. What I-9s are, I want to make sure your listener knows, is you fill out saying, you know, that you you have the right to work in the United States. So if they come in with administrative subpoena, you say to them, yes, we'll have our lawyer give you a call and we'll get you the I-9s within 72 hours. If they have a judicial warrant, obviously they can go anywhere. But the reason why I'm pointing this out is because if you have it marked private, they cannot go there unless they have a judicial warrant. So your team members can go back into the kitchen if an ICE agent walks in. And we work with the American Business Immigration Coalition, and we encourage, if this does happen to one of our independent restaurants here, to please reach out to the Illinois Restaurant Association. We will put you in contact with lawyers. But again, mark what's private, what's public, and ask if they have a warrant, and most of the time they won't. What I have heard is that out of D.C., they're saying, these restaurants are more educated in Chicago than they were Los Angeles.
Now, Brian, I'm going to give you the last word on At Issue today. We talk about all of the issues that are taking place in the restaurant industry in Chicago, Illinois, across the country. As you look at everything that's happening, where do you see Bartoli's Pizza 6 months or a year from now, given all the trends that exist that we've discussed in the program?
Well, I like to stay optimistic. I think we're gonna continue to do well at my restaurant. And even if there's a slow period, I know it's going to come back. We have a great community around us. We have a lot of supporters, a lot of great customers, and you can't give up. So you have to keep pushing forward, and we have a great product, and that's going to win over in the end.
Brian Tondrick, owner of Bartoli's Pizza in Chicago, and Sam Toya, president and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can do so at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Please join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.